This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Witch's Book of Self-Care, Magical Ways to Pamper, Soothe, and Care for Your Body and Spirit by Erin Murphy Hiscock. Read by Gabra Zachman. Introduction. At its most basic, engaging in self-care is about self-respect. Self-care is all about taking care of yourself, making that stand and declaring that, yes, you are important. You do matter. Simple self-care is part of your efforts to be the best person you can be, an idea that resonates in magic as well. Magic is an ideal partner for self-care. One of magic's main focuses is healing. Healing of the self. Healing of the earth. Healing of humanity and nature. In this sense, magic and self-care go hand in hand. The Witch's Book of Self-Care helps you explore ways to reconnect with yourself, make time for yourself, learn how to experience moments in your day mindfully, and to honor yourself and your spiritual and emotional health. Through magical self-care, you will call upon the energies of natural objects, such as herbs, stones, and the elements to care for yourself spiritually. Inside these pages, you'll discover activities on finding balance, recharging, examining self-destructive behavior, and transforming it into a healthier behavior, as well as meditations designed to help you get in touch with yourself again, spiritually and otherwise. Taking care of your energy, your emotional health, your physical health, and your mental health are all essential undertakings and can all be enhanced with magic. Being your best self is part of what makes the world a better place. This book can be that first step toward exploring how magic and self-care can partner to support you in your efforts to become the best version of yourself that you can be. Chapter 1. Self-Care and Magic. Self-care is a buzzword these days. But like media representations of magic, representations of self-care can be confusing. What exactly constitutes self-care? Is getting a mani-pedi or a new handbag actually self-care? And if not, what is? Simply put, self-care is any activity that you do deliberately to take care of your mental, emotional, or physical health. Magic dovetails perfectly with the concept of self-care because magic is about listening to what's inside you and the messages the divine and nature have for you. Being in the moment in this way opens you up to an intimate world of information that is supportive of your well-being. Magic and self-care make excellent partners on the road to leading a balanced, fulfilling life. This chapter will explore not only what self-care is and some of the damaging self-care stereotypes, it will also give you some background on the magical techniques that you will use and explore in the later chapters of this book. The goals of self-care. The goals of self-care are simple. Healthy mind. Healthy body. Healthy spirit. The point of self-care isn't just about giving yourself a break. It's about becoming skilled at identifying your needs by listening to your mind, body, and spirit. And not just long-term needs, but also immediate needs. The needs you have at this very moment. How hard can it be to listen to yourself? Particularly difficult, apparently, because a staggering percentage of the population has difficulty sleeping, anxiety issues, depression, and an ongoing feeling of failure. Taking care of yourself is more than inputting food and making sure you have a roof over your head. It means treating yourself with the kindness you extend to everyone around you. It means supporting yourself the way you support people who are dear to you. Women in particular struggle with this self-care issue, although it's not a woman-exclusive problem. Women are socialized to care for the people around them by denying or minimizing their own needs. This leads to an erasure of self-worth and a constant putting off of rejuvenation or addressing the woman's own needs for support and nurturing. This, in turn, can lead to anger and resentment. Self-care means considering yourself a worthwhile person and presenting yourself as valuable, capable, and deserving. In other words, self-care seeks to redress an imbalance that develops when you don't take proper care of yourself whether by inattention or by choice. Self-care also doesn't have to involve big, splashy undertakings. In fact, self-care works better if you do it in regular, small doses, because it helps keep you from reaching a level where you are in desperate need of something big to make an impact on how you feel. This sort of incremental self-care is also beneficial because small gestures don't take a lot of time, so there is less of a sense of stealing time from other responsibilities or other people. It can help avoid the sense of selfishness that sometimes accompanies self-care activities. Often selfishness is at the root of self-care stereotypes. Magical work is excellently poised to fight this feeling, because it generally works on an unseen, inner level where others cannot judge. Magic as self-care. One of magic's main focuses is healing. Healing of the self, healing of the earth, healing of humanity and nature. In this sense, magic and self-care go hand in hand. Self-care is a way to maintain your health, heal your spirit, and maintain or optimize your emotional, mental, and physical health. Magic helps with self-empowerment and exerting control over your life, encouraging a focus on yourself as the best person you can be. These are all things that resonate well with the general goal of self-care. The practice of magic seeks to establish or balance connection between an individual and the environment. If a spiritual aspect is added, then magic also seeks to balance or maintain the connection between the individual and the divine. Incremental self-care. There's a tendency for people to say, "Oh, just exercise, your depression will vanish." Or, "Take up yoga and you'll be a much better person spiritually." That's not how self-care works. Self-care is a complicated interwoven combination of hundreds of small acts and an attitude shift. Using just one of the rituals, spells, or practices in this book is not going to solve your problems. But each will make you feel a little better, and hopefully help you see that you are worthy of self-care and deserve to take the time and attention you need. Even though it may not make your fatigue vanish completely, taking care of yourself is still a valuable thing. Cleaning up a room won't eliminate your anxiety, but it will make the atmosphere healthier and more comfortable to be in, and that's important. Fighting the stereotypes of self-care. The media pushes self-care solutions in the form of spa days and retail therapy. It's frustrating because these solutions assume that you are of a certain class with certain options available to you. They assume that you have disposable income. They assume that you actively desire these things and deny yourself for some reason. And they assume that you have the time to engage in these activities, even as a treat. These media suggestions also assume that engaging in these kinds of activities will fill a gap in your life, implying that you are somehow not normal if engaging in one doesn't fill the void in your heart. Take courage. The media view of self-care does not have to align with your sense of self-care, and, in fact, it's probably healthier if it doesn't. Self-care guilt. Another stereotype of self-care is of someone lazily lounging on a sofa, eating chocolate, and ignoring chores. This stereotype is harmful in that it suggests taking a few minutes to yourself between tasks is letting an unspecified everyone down in some way. It implies that if you're not wholly immersed in handling things, you are failing somehow. This is one of the most harmful stereotypes associated with self-care, because you are being told that you aren't taking things seriously enough if you aren't always working for the benefit of someone other than yourself. It tells you that if you take a moment or two for yourself, you should feel guilty. While it can be therapeutic to put something off, procrastination or ignoring a problem isn't self-care. In fact, it's the opposite. Ignoring a problem just makes it more of a problem. Self-care involves scheduling things so that they don't reach problem status, and includes being kind to your future self by not leaving her a mess to handle. Releasing guilt. So often we carry around our guilt and let it fester within us. This is not healthy. Releasing guilt can be very helpful in learning to prioritize self-care. Use the following ritual to let go of some of your guilt and allow yourself to feel the burden of it lifting away from you. Ritual to release guilt. This is a burning ritual in which you burn the thing you are trying to banish or release. This type of ritual can be very therapeutic when you are trying to process painful memories or work through heavy emotions. You may have to do this ritual semi-regularly if you tend to feel guilty about different things, or if your guilt about a specific thing pops up again and again. Do it as often as you feel you need to. This ritual calls for grounding, centering, and optionally casting a circle. If you're not already familiar with these techniques, see the instructions later in this chapter. What you need: trivet or hot pad, fireproof, heatproof container, frankincense, incense, and a censer, white candle and candle holder, matches or lighter, paper, pen or pencil. What to do. 1. Center and ground. Cast a circle if you feel you need one. 2. Place the trivet or hot pad and the heatproof container on top of it next to the incense and candle. 3. Light the frankincense incense. Light the candle. 4. Sit with your eyes closed and think about your sense of guilt. What is it related to? What triggers it? Can you pinpoint what you feel guilty for? There may be associated feelings, such as resentment, sadness, shame, or anger. 5. When you're ready, write these things on the paper. 6. Fold the paper in half or quarters to fit the heatproof container. Hold the paper and say, "I release this guilt to the universe. I invite peace and serenity to take its place. Open my heart to the positive energy of this lesson, and support me as I learn to care for myself freely. Thank you for your many blessings." 7. Touch the corner of the paper to the flame of the candle. When the paper catches, place it in the heatproof container and allow it to burn to ash. Allow the incense and candle to burn out. 8. Later, take the ash of the paper and either dispose of it under running water outdoors, or allow the wind to take it. Hygge and self-care. Hygge is a Danish concept that underlines the importance of focusing on the enjoyment of the moment. It's about being present and allowing yourself the time and space to acknowledge a feeling or what's happening at the present moment. Hygge came about as a result of Danes needing a way to cope emotionally and spiritually with long, cold, dark winters. It celebrates small things that make life worthwhile, such as cups of tea, good books, comfortable spaces, the feeling of security and coziness, home-cooked food, and the company of friends. It rests on the idea of a slow-moving, low-stress, low-commercial consumption life. Hygge is a concept that fits almost seamlessly into magical practice. The practice of magic strives for the same sort of serenity that hygge does. Meditation and slowing down to be in the moment, aware and acknowledging your authentic self, is very much at the heart of magic work. Magic looks to improve yourself, to strengthen yourself, and to celebrate yourself. Hygge suggests that the living of your life can be an art form, which is an excellent way to look at self-care. It's not about flashiness. It's about comfort and expression. It's about creating a special moment, not special in the out-of-the-ordinary sense, but in the recognition that if you pause and allow yourself to acknowledge and connect with that moment, however small, you will realize that every moment can be special just because it's yours and you've recognized it as such. Part of self-care is allowing yourself the permission to have those moments and to enjoy them. You are encouraged to pause and acknowledge the moment, whether it is good or bad. That moment of acknowledgement reinforces the idea that you are worth the time. It also validates your feelings, which can reduce overall stress. Rather than ignoring your feelings in a mad dash to drive forward, those moments of acknowledging yourself without judgment provide a healthy way to reassure your subconscious that it is allowed to have moods. It doesn't have to be up or on all the time. In fact, it shouldn't be. Everyone and everything needs downtime. The importance of being authentic. At its heart, the idea of being authentic means figuring out who you are, accepting yourself, being true to yourself. Sound easy? Maybe not. Often, the hustle and bustle of daily life is a way to keep ourselves distracted and busy so that we don't pause and look at ourselves and see who we really are. Pausing to take a good look at yourself can be intimidating. What if you aren't the great person you think you are? Sometimes self-care is hard because it means facing things you'd rather pretend aren't there. Self-examination is uncomfortable. It requires a level of honesty that you may not feel prepared to handle. You may fear admitting that you have been the one sabotaging yourself, knowingly or unknowingly, or you may be terrified of acknowledging that you need to crack down on your self-discipline in order to be your best self. Self-care means recognizing that you're weak in some areas. It means you have more agency and control over your life than you may be comfortable accepting. But just think. If you admit you have weak areas, you know what to work on, and you know what parts of you need more love and nurturing. If you accept responsibility for being your best self, then you can make better decisions regarding your self-care. Try this affirmation. I honor my true self. Living as your authentic self means following a very individual path. No one else can live quite like you. It's a unique pursuit. Yes, it is hard to isolate your own values, and sometimes harder to live according to them when it might be a lot easier to remain ignorant and pretend that you're fine. But caring for an inauthentic self is like filling a leaky bucket. You can't ever fill it because it's not complete. Self-care means valuing all the various parts of you, not just some of them. Yes, even the parts that still need work. If you pretend to be someone you're not, how can you ever be truly happy? If you're not being authentic, how can you have compassion for yourself? Living authentically might not be easy, but it's rewarding. Here are some things to keep in mind. Balance what you feel and/or need against your actions. Making value-based choices will be healthier in the long run than making choices based on convenience or popular opinion. Advocate for yourself and your needs or wants. Don't let yourself be driven by a need to be approved of or liked by others. Approval is a powerful drug, but being happy with your value-based choices is healthier for your spirit and sense of self. Being openly authentic can be intimidating. What if you embrace yourself as you truly are, weaknesses and flaws and all, only to be rejected by other people? Fear is a powerful deterrent. Fear of failure, of rejection, or of loneliness can combine with the fear of missing out, creating a tangle of anxiety and a sense of not being in control of anything. Remember, though, living authentically will build your sense of confidence and strength, which will in turn show in your personal energy. Author Brené Brown talks about cultivating the ability to be imperfect in The Gifts of Imperfection. Accepting that you are imperfect and still worth caring for is a valuable practice in your self-care toolbox. As much as self-examination can be scary, ignoring it just creates a different kind of stress, avoidable stress at that. Make the choice to work through the stress and engage in self-reflection instead of being at the mercy of the stress that rises from procrastinating or ignoring something. Be in control. Check out the exercise Authenticity, a spell to help recognize the real you, in Chapter 2. Magical Techniques for Self-Care. This book proposes a variety of magical techniques to use in your practice of self-care. Most of them are easy and accessible, and others ask for minor purchases of herbs or stones. Stones don't need to be huge. Even a small stone possesses natural energy that you can draw on to help support your own. Most of the herbs can be found in a grocery store. Some can be used in oil form. Essential oils may seem expensive, but they are concentrated and last a long time with proper storage away from light. Here are some of the magical techniques you will explore throughout this book. Creative visualization. Were you called out for daydreaming or having an overactive imagination as a child? Creative visualization is a technique that uses your powers of imagination and concentration to create an image of the reality you're working for. It's more focused than daydreaming and requires you to create what you're visualizing with care. Essentially, by visualizing a potential situation and lending it energy, you're fueling it and giving it more power. Creative visualization also works in a negative way. This is why you need to catch yourself in the act if your mind goes off on a tangent, imagining something terrible. You don't want to give a negative outcome any more power or fuel than it already possesses. Meditation. Meditation offers your mind a break by allowing it to disengage from the ongoing commotion of the world around you. It has physical benefits, such as slowing heart rate and lowering blood pressure. Mentally, it improves concentration and counters stress, depression, and anxiety, as well as fighting recursive negative thinking. Emotionally, meditation encourages self-acceptance and optimism. Spiritually, it fosters calm, serenity, and a sense of peace and harmony with the universe. The types of meditation explored in this book include mindfulness meditation and breathing meditation, both very simple practices that encourage self-care. Breathing exercises. Breathing exercises allow you to pay attention to what is otherwise an autonomous function. For an autonomous function, it's impressive how much improvement you can realize with a bit of attention to the process. By taking control of your breathing, you can affect the depth and rhythm of your intake and release of oxygen. In turn, that can benefit your brain function, your heart rate, the health of your body in general, and more. Breathing exercises can also do double duty as meditation. Herbal magic. What's the difference between herbal magic and herbalism? Herbalism works on a medicinal level. Magic works with the energies of the plant. The two are not mutually exclusive. For example, there are tea recipes in this book that incorporate both herbal magic and medicinal herbalism. Mainly, however, the energies of flowers, shrubs, herbs, and trees are used to support and encourage self-care magically, as opposed to medicinally, for the physical body. Herbal magic can be used in aromatherapy, incense, oils, potpourri, sachets, powders, charms, and as a supportive magical technique for other kinds of magic. Candle magic. Apart from candles providing an excellent way to create a welcoming atmosphere, candle magic is simple and serene. It can be as simple as lighting a candle and enjoying the beauty of the flame and the scent, or it can be more complicated, involving carving words into the candle or drilling holes in the wax, which you then fill with herbs and/or oils. Candles provide an easy way to engage in self-care. You don't need to invest in expensive ones, although seeking out the cheapest options often means you might end up with poorly made candles that burn unevenly, smoke, and leave messy black soot on the walls. You can also purchase your own ingredients and supplies and enjoy rolling, dipping, or pouring your own candles, which allows you to add powdered dried herbs and oils to the candles as they are being made. Here are some tips for candles. Buy a box of any size of mason jars, or grab them when you see them at thrift stores, and use them as candle holders, either for tea lights or pillars. Tie a bit of ribbon or raffia around each jar for rustic charm. Make sure the ribbon or raffia isn't too close to the top of the jar so it's safe from the flame. Swap the colors of ribbons or raffia as the seasons change, if you like. Grease the inside of the bottom of the jar with petroleum jelly or olive oil to help prevent the candle from sticking to the bottom once it has finished burning. Always use a proper candle snuffer to put out the flame instead of trying to blow the flame out to avoid spattering wax. Look for soy candles or ones with a high percentage of beeswax. Not only do they burn more cleanly, they also release fewer harmful chemicals into the air and are likely to be made under better working conditions. Practice sensible fire safety around candles. Don't leave them unattended and make sure there is nothing flammable around them. Crystal and gem magic. Like candles, crystals and other stones can be a passive part of your self-care, or they can take a more active part if you charge or program them to direct their energies toward a specific purpose. Crystals and stones are terrific little batteries with native energy that you can access easily. They're generally small enough to slip into a pocket or bag, or you can find jewelry set with stones that align with your desired goal. Stones are reusable too. Give them a good cleansing. See the instructions for cleansing and/or purifying later in this chapter, and they're good to go again. Magical basics. The main focus of this book is not to teach the basics of magical practice. However, in the interest of giving everyone a level playing field, what follows are some bare-bones foundational techniques that will be called on in this book. For a more in-depth look at magical techniques, please see my books, Power Spellcraft for Life and Solitary Wicca for Life. Center and Ground. This is an essential magical technique that ties especially well into self-care. It's a practice that can calm agitated personal energy, replenish low personal energy, and create a sense of belonging, connection, and reassurance. Center and ground. This is the first thing you should do before engaging in any kind of magical work, to ensure that you don't drain your personal energy during the working. What to do? 1. Close your eyes and take 3 slow breaths. 2. Visualize a light in the core of your body. What you consider your body's core is up to you. Some people locate it around the heart, others the solar plexus or lower in the abdomen. What's important is that it makes sense to you as the location of your core. 3. Visualize a tendril of light growing down from your core toward the ground. See it reach down through the surface, deep into the Earth's core. Visualize your tendril of energy meeting the energy of the Earth. Draw some of the Earth's energy up that tendril as if it were a straw, bringing it up into your body. Let the energy of the Earth fill you. 4. If you are tired or low on energy, you can use this Earth energy to replenish or rebalance yourself. 5. If you are jumpy or buzzing with extra energy that's making you jittery or flighty, then once you have connected your energy to that of the Earth, visualize some of your personal energy bleeding off to be absorbed by the Earth. This process can be easier to visualize if you imagine the energy of the Earth to be a different color from your personal energy. Circles. A magic circle is an energy barrier created to delineate a sacred space in which to worship, a container created to protect what is inside, or to keep unwanted energy out, and provides a way to collect focused energy while it is raised before that energy is released toward a goal. You might not always need a circle, but how to cast one is a good technique to know, because the circle can also function as a personal shield to ward off negative energy. Casting a circle. Here is how to cast and take down a magic circle. What to do? 1. Center and ground. 2. Draw energy up from the earth into your core and let it flow down the arm of your dominant hand. 3. Imagine the earth energy flowing out of your fingers. Point your hand to the side and either turn slowly in place or walk around the perimeter of your space, visualizing the energy flowing out like a ribbon to surround your working area. Finish the circle by visualizing the ribbon of energy meeting the other end you started with. 4. Once the ring of energy is complete, visualize the energy stretching up to form walls, then continuing into a dome over your head. Visualize a similar hemisphere under you, so that the energy surrounds you like a full sphere. 5. When your work is complete, visualize this in reverse. See the half spheres above and below you recede back into the simple ribbon of energy circled around you. Then point your hand at where the circle began and ended, and trace it in reverse, imagining the energy flowing back to your hand and up your arm to your core. Make sure to allow it to flow past your core and down your connection to the earth to allow it to rejoin the earth energy it came from. Sacred space. Sacred space is space devoted to your best self. A magical circle created to set apart a bit of the everyday world is one form of temporary sacred space. But sacred space can also be made with intention in other ways. This is probably the technique that you will use most often in pursuit of self-care. Methods of creating sacred space can include lighting a candle and incense dedicated to that purpose, sprinkling blessed water, made by adding a pinch of salt to a cup of water, around an area, strewing herbs, blessing an area with all 4 elements, earth, air, fire, and water. A simple way to do this is to use incense, which represents fire and air, and blessed water, which represents earth and water. cleansing, purifying objects. Before you use items in magic, it's always a good idea to cleanse their energy. Energy tends to collect on objects, especially objects that are handled by people. You may have programmed some items to do specific energy work, like absorb negativity or protect or draw something toward yourself. At the end of their purpose, it's a good idea to run them through a magical wash to get it clean for the next time you need it. Don't worry. Cleansing something won't remove an item's innate energy. In other words, you don't need to worry about wiping away clear quartz's ability to supply you with energy or obsidian's ability to protect you from negativity. Here are a few different ways to cleanse something magically. Place the item in sunlight or moonlight for about 24 hours. Put a small mirror underneath it to increase the efficiency of the purification. Place the item in a container of salt. Warning, don't do this with metal items as they can corrode. This works best with stones and crystals. Place the item in a dish of sand or earth and cover it lightly. Wrap the item in a light cloth first if you like. Pass the item through smoke of sandalwood, frankincense, or myrrh incense. See Chapter 5 for incense recipes. Hold the item in your hands or hold your hands above it with the palms down. Center and ground, then draw up energy from the earth. Imagine it flowing down to your hands and surrounding the object. Say, "With this energy I cleanse you. With this energy you are cleared of all external energy. May it be so." Mindfulness. Mindfulness is not a technique so much as an important aspect of magical practice. Mindfulness is being in the moment, allowing whatever task you're performing to have the whole of your attention in a relaxed fashion, so that you are fully open to the experience. Mindfulness is important in magic because you are tied to your environment, which impacts you. Being aware of everything is critical to being able to pick and choose what you want to draw on in your magical work. It's also important because you need to be able to differentiate between good and bad, or supportive and unsupportive energy. Reaching out and being able to sense what is around you takes a curious blend of concentration and release. Check out the awareness and sensory exercises in Chapter 2 to work on practicing mindfulness. Magical journaling for self-care. Journaling is a therapeutic practice. It's also a valuable part of working magic. Keeping records of your work allows you to consult notes regarding herbal or incense blends, timing, successes and failures, origins of ideas, references, and experiments with energies of various supplies and components. Partnering or uniting the concepts of reflective self-care journaling and magical journaling in pursuit of self-care just makes sense. You'll have more than one magical and/or self-care journal in your life, so don't get too caught up in finding the perfect one to last forever. Any blank journal or notebook that is pretty and makes you happy or relaxed when looking at it is great. Do you already keep a magical journal, recording your energy work, spells, and rituals? Decide if you want to have a separate self-care journal, or if you're going to use your existing magical journal for that purpose. Do what feels right for you. You can always start one way and switch later if your initial choice doesn't work for you. A self-care journal tip. Glue an envelope to the back cover, or use washi tape to tape the bottom and side of the last two pages to make a pocket open at the top. This allows you to keep loose things in it. The following rituals will help get you started with your journaling practice. The first is a simple technique to bless your new self-care journal. The second establishes optimal conditions to allow a productive journaling session. Self-care journal dedication. Before you start using new tools, it's a good idea to cleanse and bless them or dedicate them to their intended purpose. This ritual calls for a candle and incense that will be used for your future self-care journaling sessions, as well as this initial blessing. Why not start using a new pen as well? Keep it just for use with your self-care journal. What you need. Candle in a color you associate with clarity and self-reflection. Some suggestions. White, pale blue, pale yellow. And a candle holder. Incense of your choice. Suggestions. Sandalwood, frankincense, lavender, jasmine, and a censer. Matches or lighter. New notebook. Pen. Markers, stickers, washi tape, and so on. Optional. See instructions. What to do. 1. Center and ground. 2. Light the candle and the incense. Sit or stand in a relaxed way, eyes closed, and let yourself be in the moment for a minute or so. 3. Pick up the notebook and pass it over the candle, then through the incense, saying, "I cleanse you of negative energy." Repeat with the pen. 4. Hold the book and close your eyes. Take a few slow breaths. Say, "May this book encourage me to value myself, to care for myself as I deserve, and to celebrate myself. It is my friend and my support. May it be so." 5. Write this, or a blessing of your own creation, on the first page of the journal. Decorate it as you like, with markers, stickers, washi tape, whatever makes you feel warm and happy when you look at it. Tips. You can use a series of small candles, or you can dedicate a large pillar candle to your journaling sessions. If you do the latter, you can pierce holes in the top of the candle and carefully drip essential oil into them, or load it with powdered herbs to add their energies to the experience. See the Enhancing Home Energy Pillar Candle Project in Chapter 5. If you're using stick incense, you don't have to let a whole stick burn every time you light it. If you're finished before the incense stick is, just tamp it out gently in the sensor and slip it back in the packet for next time. Or break one in half and use only one half at a time. Experiment and see what works for you. Journaling Framework Ritual. Using magical ritual is a way of setting an action or sequence apart from the everyday world. Repeating a certain sequence of actions also allows you to become very familiar with what comes next in the sequence. In the case of this framework, it trains your mind to quickly slip into the calm headspace that is ideal for reflective journaling. This framework is designed to allow you to slip into the optimal frame of mind for the several journaling exercises throughout the book. Why not brew a cup of tea to go along with it? Or pour yourself something refreshing. This framework calls for a candle and incense of your choice, preferably in colors and scents you associate with peace and clarity. Use the same candle and incense for your self-care journaling session each time. The familiar setting will act as a trigger to help you reach a relaxed, self-reflective state more easily every time. You could use a meditation incense here as well. See Chapter 5. What you need. Your journaling candle in a candle holder. See earlier in this chapter. Your journaling incense and a censer. See earlier in this chapter. Matches or lighter. Your magical self-care journal and pen. See earlier in this chapter. What to do. 1. Center and ground. 2. Light the candle and incense saying, "Peace surround me. I am present in the moment." 3. Sit in a relaxed way, eyes closed, and let yourself be in the moment for a minute or so. Then open your eyes, open your notebook, and journal whatever you intend to record. 4. When you are done, close the book and say, "I thank the universe for my many opportunities to reflect and explore my spirit. May I always be blessed." Tip. Try playing the same album or playlist of relaxed meditative music while you journal to further create the self-care atmosphere. Chapter 2. Mental and Emotional Self-Care. This chapter focuses on the general self-care of your personal energy to help stay in good shape mentally and emotionally. It looks at attitudes, relationships, and how to maintain a broad balance in all the areas of your life. Each of these spheres, and the physical and spiritual areas of your life as well, see chapters 3 and 4, can and do influence one another. If you work on improving self-care in one area, that will automatically support other spheres as well. Self-care has a cascading benefit. Identifying your self-care goals. How do you begin your self-care? First, think, what do you live for? What is your bliss? What makes you feel good? Being able to pin this down is valuable, Because without goals, you can end up flailing around, trying to make yourself feel better in general without addressing the source or sources of your imbalances. Identifying your self-care goals means a more efficient and effective application of your time and energy into your self-care. Knowing these goals informs the quality of your self-care and also facilitates your commitment to living authentically. Making a self-care vision board, see the following, is one way to work through the process of identifying your self-care goals. Self-care vision board. A vision board is a themed collection of images, quotations, and objects mounted on a flat surface. When you create a vision board and place it in a space where you see it often, you essentially end up doing short visualization exercises throughout the day every time you see it. Consciously or unconsciously, seeing it sends cues to your spirit and reactivates the energy you have tied into those goals. Visualization is a powerful tool in self-care. When designing a vision board, the focus should be on how you want things to be. Choose things to include that elicit the emotions you want to feel, that remind you of the life you want to have. Focus more on the less tangible aspects of the life you want to have. It's nice to wish for material things, but that's not what this is really about. Your vision board should motivate and inspire you to work toward the quality of life you want to be living. Creating your vision board is going to be a unique and personal process. What you use as a foundation for your board will depend on your budget, the space you have to display it, and your creative choices. You could use a cork board or poster board from a craft store or repurpose a frame that you already have by replacing the contents with blank cardstock. You could even cut a piece of poster board into a specific shape. Spend some time ahead of this activity to think about what kind of themes you want to represent. You might want to spend time searching for specific images or artwork. Also, give some thought to whether you want this board to be permanent or an ongoing evolution that reflects how your needs for self-care change. You might want to make a new one annually and keep past ones to look back on, or you might decide that the evolution itself is what's important. What you need. A foundation for your board, cork board, poster board, and so on. Blank cardstock. Pens or markers. Photos, souvenirs, and trinkets that support or evoke your goals. Glue, tape, or pushpins, depending on your foundation board. Washi tape, stickers, and so on. Optional. See instructions. What to do. 1. Gather your supplies. 2. If you like, use the journaling framework ritual in Chapter 1 to prepare for the activity, including the candle and incense, if you use them. Otherwise, create a pleasant ambiance to work in. Adjust the lighting, put on relaxing or motivational music, and so forth. 3. Design your board. Do you want space between the objects on your board, or do you want them to overlap? Also decide if you want to fill the board completely or leave space for new things as they come into importance in your life. 4. Write an affirmation or a short list of self-care goals on the piece of cardstock and position it on the board. 5. Arrange the items around the affirmation or list as you like without attaching them. When you have decided on your layout, fasten your items to the board with pins, glue, or tape. Use the washi tape and stickers if you like to further decorate the vision board. 6. Display the self-care vision board in your chosen location. Affirmations. Positive thinking has gotten a lot of flack from the mainstream media and pundits for being a fluffy way to try to affect change. At the same time, however, studies in psychology analyze how hearing negative talk over and over can damage the development of the young psyche. Negative self-talk can do similar damage. Thought patterns can impact your health. Rewiring your brain by repeating something is easy to do. It just happens most often that you do it unintentionally and in a negative fashion. The mind is a powerful thing, and it is very open to suggestion. Here's the thing. You are the person who speaks to yourself most often. You hear yourself speak more than anyone else in the world. So be kind to yourself. Our self-talk is often punishingly hard. It's aggressive, condescending, bullying, abusive, and downright mean. If someone spoke that way to another person, you'd be shocked, horrified, perhaps moved to intervene. So why don't we recognize it in ourselves? Well, for one thing, it's all internal, and most of the time we don't notice. It can be very difficult to retrain your inner voice to be nurturing. Sometimes thinking of yourself as a child can help. Did that hurt? You can ask yourself. It looks like it did. It's okay. It hurts, but it will be over soon. Hey, look at that pretty butterfly. I wonder where it's going right now. Just as you'd affirm a child's emotion and then help redirect their attention from the subject that's upsetting them, you can redirect your own focus too. There are lots of exercises about mindfulness in this book, working on being in the moment and letting thoughts flow past you without getting caught up in them. Is training that helps immensely with handling negative self-talk. Affirmations are another handy, easy way to address negative self-talk. An affirmation is a positive statement that reinforces a desired goal or circumstance, or that counters something negative. If you catch yourself criticizing something you said or did, a decision you made, or something you failed to do, take a moment to clear your mind, take a couple of slow breaths, and repeat an affirmation like one of these simple, one-sentence affirmations. I am allowed to make mistakes. I made a decision, one among many. It is past. I will do better next time. I am right where I need to be. I am enough. I have the power to change myself and my world. Is saying a simple sentence going to change things just like that? Alas, it's not that easy. It's the repetition that's key. By repeating positive affirmations like these and others, you can start to rewire your brain to be more positive, optimistic, and confident. If you learn well by writing things out, write out your affirmations in your self-care journal. Don't use too many at once. Work on two or three at a time maximum, then move on to another set after a month or two. Starting your day with self-care. Carving out a quiet space for yourself before your day begins in earnest is a valuable practice that helps you slip into a grounded headspace from which to approach your routine. If this routine doesn't work for you, tweak it until it addresses your needs. Daily 5-minute self-care routine to start the day. This is a regular self-care version of this routine. For a specific spiritual version, see the daily kickoff ritual in Chapter 4. You could also pair the two for the best possible way to start your day. What to do? 1. Wake up. Stretch. Suggested yoga poses you can do without leaving your bed. Child, cobra, cat-cow, pigeon. 2. Sit cross-legged and close your eyes. Breathe deeply and run your awareness over your body. Is there anywhere that hurts, that feels off, that might need extra attention today? 3. Get up. Drink a glass of water with awareness. Notice the sensation of the liquid in your mouth, the muscles moving as you swallow. 4. Mentally review your schedule for the day, perhaps while you have your first cup of tea or coffee. Take a moment to open your mind and accept your upcoming tasks. Don't go into detail about how you'll execute them. Just accept that they're on the list of things to do. 5. Choose an affirmation for your day based on your physical body scan, your upcoming schedule for the day, and your general mood. Affirmations like, I am enough, I meet challenges with grace, and I am calm and capable are good all-purpose statements, but it's preferable to tailor your affirmation to your needs. 6. And go. Tip. An additional 5 minutes to work with your self-care journal can be a beneficial complement to this basic morning self-care list. You could write out your chosen daily affirmation a few times to help it sink in. See the daily kickoff ritual in Chapter 4 for more ideas. Authenticity. Self-care can be tough. You need to see who you truly are in order to take care of yourself properly. Defining the different parts of yourself is a great exercise in self-acceptance. The following spell will help you discover and acknowledge all the different parts of who you are, and the affirmations that follow will help you keep in mind how great that person is. Authenticity. a spell to help recognize the real you. Here's a spell to help with insight into who you are, so that you can more easily embrace yourself. What you need: paper, pencil or pen, or colored pencils or markers. See instructions. What to do. 1. Center and ground. Take a few deep, slow breaths. 2. Write your name in the center of the paper. 3. Start writing words around your name that reflect who you are, not who you wish you were, who you truly are on the inside. Shy, scared, melancholy, geek, scared of rejection, feel left behind by friends you knew in college, worried your supervisor doesn't understand your approach, enthusiastic fan of various film franchises. Write it down. No one is going to see this but you. Be precise. Don't judge. Don't make excuses. But don't leave out the good stuff. Do you make a terrific cheesecake? Are you a sympathetic listener? Do you have an excellent sense of humor? Are you a runner, a knitter, a gamer? 4. Hold the paper and say, inside, past the outside. No more hiding. I am myself. I am enough. I am worth love. 5. Fold up the paper and slip it into your self-care journal. Review it every once in a while when you feel like you're losing the sense of yourself. Tip: write a new authenticity spell a few times a year if you feel the desire to. Make sure to date each one so you can properly trace the evolution when you review them. You should see core concepts pop up again and again. Those describe you at your center. Authenticity affirmations. Staying authentic to who you are at heart and in your spirit will be an ongoing challenge. When you feel like you're slipping into pretending to be someone else, or when you're making choices because they seem easy instead of right. We all do it sometimes, but when it becomes habit because it's simpler than the alternative, that's when it's time to revisit the previous authenticity spell. Working with authenticity-themed affirmations can help you remember to stay on track. Perhaps you're nervous about making the changes that family, friends, or colleagues may question or challenge. Reinforce your commitment to being authentic by using these affirmations to remind yourself that you have the right to be who your spirit tells you to be. What to do. These single-sentence affirmations can be written down, spoken aloud as part of meditation, repeated in your heart or aloud while looking yourself in the eye in the mirror, written on sticky notes and posted around your cubicle, typed out in a beautiful font and used as the lock screen on your phone, and more. The possibilities are limitless. I am valid. I am the person I wish to be. I am the best version of myself that I can be. I release all false projections of myself and embrace my true spirit. I am vibrant and creative. My actions and choices reflect my values. I am at home in my heart and spirit. I honor who I am. Tips. Want to use all these statements as part of a litany? Go for it. As always, tweak these affirmations if you feel the desire to, and write your own to tailor them exactly to your needs. Journaling exercises. A great way to remember that happiness is within reach is to list things that bring you joy. Write them in your self-care journal. This can sometimes be overwhelming or daunting to do without a context, so a great way to approach it is to work with a specific subject. The following journaling exercises will help you explore some specific details to give you insight into your larger self. Journaling exercises. Sensory gratitude. One way to feel more connected to the world around you and to discover how you can further expand your methods of self-care is to explore your relationship with your physical senses. What brings you joy when using your senses? What you need: self-care journal, pen or pencil. What to do. 1. Center and ground. 2. Take a few moments to open your mind and think about each sense in turn. Write down your answers, then move on to thinking about the next sense. What sights bring you joy? What sounds bring you joy? What scents bring you joy? What tastes bring you joy? What brings you joy when you touch it? 3. Don't censor or criticize yourself as you make your lists. No one is going to see this other than yourself. If you like burying your face in kitten fur, write it down. If you like the smell of a freshly uncapped marker or a just-extinguished match, write it down. 4. The lists don't need to be exhaustive. It's enough to list one or two things during this round. This journaling exercise makes you think about your relationship with your senses in a non-abstract way. It also helps you think about specific moments within larger actions. The smell of a freshly extinguished match is a very specific moment in the larger process of striking the match, lighting something with the flame, and then shaking or tamping out the match. Now that you know the specific moment is something that brings you joy, you can take pleasure in it the next time you light and extinguish a match. To fully recognize and appreciate it as an enjoyable sensation, be fully present in the moment that it happens. Journaling exercise. Seasonal gratitude. Journaling gratitude can help you recognize more opportunities to practice thankfulness. As with joy, journaling a broad topic like gratitude can sometimes be overwhelming or daunting to do without a context. So this exercise offers you the chance to explore gratitude within a seasonal context. See also Chapter 4 for ideas about working with seasonal energies to engage in self-care. What you need: self-care journal, pen or pencil. What to do: 1. Center and ground. 2. Take a few moments to open your mind and think about each season in turn. Write down your answers, then move on to thinking about the next season. What are you thankful for in the spring? What are you thankful for in the summer? What are you thankful for in the fall? What are you thankful for in the winter? 3. Don't censor or criticize yourself as you make your lists. No one is going to see this other than yourself. If you're thankful for having an excuse to stay inside more during winter, write it down. 4. The lists don't need to be exhaustive. It's enough to list one or two things during this round. Tip: if you live in a geographic location that doesn't have a lot of variation between the seasons, think about the yearly calendar instead. For example, how are the seasons reflected in the produce available to you or the seasonal decorations in your town? Journaling exercise: daily gratitude. One of the principles in magic is that like attracts like. The idea behind listing things you're grateful for is that it invites you to recognize more blessings or good things for which to be grateful. This exercise is also good for mental and emotional health. When you make a point of listing good things that happened or things you accomplished, then you start to validate your own successes. It's healthy to be proud of getting through the day if it was hard. Go you! At the end of the day, sit down with your self-care journal and write these things. 1. 3 successes. You define what success is. If you deal with a chronic illness, a success can be, I got out of bed, or I ate breakfast. Maybe a success is remembering to take your multivitamin or remembering to hydrate enough to finish 2 refills of your water bottle at work. The key is that you have to consider it a success within the context of the kind of day you had. 2. 3 things that brought you joy. Again, you get to define what a joy was on that particular day. Did your favorite song play on the radio on the way to work? Did this month's issue of your favorite magazine subscription land in your mailbox? Did you see a cute cat on the way home? If it made you happy, write it down. 3. 3 things you're thankful for. Were you grateful for catching the early train so you had a bit of extra time to settle in before class started? Was there a computer server issue at work so you got to come home early and sit in the sun with a good book? Were you there when a friend needed to touch base today? Write it down. Is coming up with 3 things hard to manage? Start with 1 thing in each category, then move up to 2, and finally to 3. You'll find that it gets easier the more you practice it. After doing this for a few days, you may notice that your mood in general has improved, because you're focusing on positive stuff instead of the bad things that happened to you. The negative things tend to stick with you more easily than the positive ones. When you finally manage to put the bad things out of your mind, something will remind you of them. And guess what? They're back. Practicing daily gratitude by choosing to record good things instead of bad means that you are consciously choosing to search your memory for positive.